Hour number three, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. On this Thursday, we are live at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Bar Lines and got people in here enjoying their lunch and listening to us, and we're excited to have Pat McGann with us. He's going to be at Zany's tonight.
I am, yes.
Not too far from here, just down the street, so I know you're looking forward to that. We were just talking off the air, a Chicago guy comes down south. I mean, having some fun here in Nashville.
Yeah, definitely. And Zany's, you know, the original is in Chicago. So yes, they have a club down here. That's it. It's Chicago and Nashville. And I have been here a few times. I've opened for Sebastian Maniscalco here at the Polk and at Bridgestone. But Zany's I've done a few times on my own, and I'm really happy to be back.
Zany's is such a, like, intimate venue,
yeah.
And I think for comics, it's just perfect because you can, you know, I've actually stood on that stage before and kind of got the perspective of, okay, you know, how much can you really see? I feel like you see a good chunk of the audience, and, you know, if you want to have that interaction, it's
exactly
there for you.
It's intimate, and it's, you know, the independently run clubs are the best clubs, and they put comedy first, and they have the comedian in mind, the performer in mind, and, you know, it's a historical place, too. Everyone's been through there.
Yeah.
It's been there for, it's got to be something, you know, 25, 30 years, I would guess.
So, Chicago guy comes to Nashville. You know who, when I think of that, who comes to mind? Al Capone.
Oh, there you go. He came through here, too?
Yeah.
He did, actually.
It was like there were no interstates back then, so he came through Nashville. I think it was 41 would continue him through Nashville, down to Chattanooga, and down to Florida.
Oh, no kidding.
So we have Al Capone on the show today.
Yeah, there we go.
Way to go, Pat.
Yeah, he's you know, all over Chicago, I don't know if celebrate is the right word, but, you know, he definitely left his mark, and they talk about all the tunnels he built under,
right,
you know, just to get out of places if things got a little hot, like duck out the back door.
We should all, you know, he is responsible for putting expiration dates on cartons of milk.
See that? I didn't know that.
Capone's?
Because I think it's his baby sister got sick, deathly sick over expired milk. And he lobbied. You could fact check me, but I'm almost positive that's correct. So he's able to put expiration dates on milk.
See, he was a good guy.
Yep. Huh. So there's your show tonight.
Good night, Nashville.
I'm out of there.
Exactly.
So you mentioned you've opened for Sebastian. How did you two get to know each other?
I met him at Zany's in Chicago.
Okay.
He was kind of at the point of his career, he was selling out clubs, and I was the house MC there. So I was hosting all the time, and he was coming through, and, you know, he's from Chicago. We're around the same age. We had a lot in common, and he started asking me to open for him kind of in the Midwest, the local shows. And then as his tour grew and he was bringing out his own opener, I was lucky enough to get that call, you know, and our relationship really grew during those years. And to see him go from selling out clubs into the small theaters, into the bigger theaters, and then arenas. The last tour was all arenas. It's been really a great ride, and just to be able to be have access to his platform, you know, he shared that with me, and to get in front of his audiences has been very cool.
I ask every comic we have on this same question, but how much differently do you have to prepare when you're doing an arena as opposed to a club like Zany's? Because I have to imagine that's a big difference.
Yes, yeah. Now, when I'm with him, I just do material, and it is a little bit harder to connect with the screens, though. Now, you know, you have the high def screens, you can kind of fill that space, and he does a show in the round.
Yeah,
so it is a little bit intimidating, and it's a bit of a disconnect compared to the clubs, but it's less like crowd work for me, less like engaging, and I don't touch the local stuff. I leave that, you know, when you're opening for someone, there are some unwritten rules that I think you got to kind of abide by. I'm not going to walk out there and start talking about everything that's going on in Nashville.
Right.
Because then it's kind of taking that off of his, you know. So when I have my own shows, I can more dive into that and connect at a different level.
We're talking to Pat McGann. We're at Bar Lines Omni Nashville Hotel. All right, your travel ball part you talk about, and the bats and the parents. Every comedian needs like that foundation, like they talk about. I mean, it's priceless. I've watched you talk and do that about 1,000 times. It gets funnier because travel ball's out of hand. Softball bats are out. I mean, it's all out of hand. It's crazy.
It yeah, it's my son just finished his season. And now I have one playing hockey, and that might be worse. It's worse on your wallet for sure, you know. And he had a tryout. He's like 10 years old, had a try. You know what the tryout was? can you come up with $2,500?
I believe it.
Yeah, he came home. He's like, Dad, I made the team. He's like, I know. I got the fraud alert from Chase.
Is he a skater or is he a goalie?
He is a skater. He's actually taken this season off because he kind of fell in love with basketball, which I am much more a bigger fan of. So
sure, yeah.
That's a little easier.
And they overlap. And that's the funny thing. Not the funny thing. It's kind of a crazy thing. Like, these kids have to make a decision almost when you're 10 or 11 years old. Like, which one are you going to specialize in? Because if you don't concentrate on one sport, a lot of these other kids are maybe going to pass you by because they are. And they're playing whatever sport they've picked, they're playing it year round.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You know, and they have like coaches, individual coaches, speed and agility coaches when you're in fourth and fifth grade. I mean, it's a racket, right?
It is. And like, I have friends that, you know, they have kids that are kind of at that point, but they still say like the good coaches, I think, will encourage them. Maybe find your focus of, you know, if you're going to go baseball or whatever and do that, but try and play something else too. Because yeah. I do think that's important.
Yeah, and it helps you as an athlete, I think, to have a wider skill set and, you know, all the different types of coordination. I mean, I know that I saw Wayne Gretzky talk about this because he was drafted to play Major League Baseball, and he had, like, fallen in love with that sport as a kid.
Yeah.
You know, he wasn't just focused just on hockey, so... I don't know. I mean, it's a different world, but I do like that my kids are still playing, you know, a couple of sports, but you can see that they're starting to and need to maybe focus just to have an opportunity to, when they try out for a team in high school, to be kind of, you know, equal to the other kids they're competing against.
Now, how many kids do we have?
Three. I got a girl, two boys.
And are they all involved in travel ball?
My little guy... No, but yes, they all each are trying to, you know, they're doing a little bit extra.
So how do you, with three doing that, how old are they?
My daughter's 13, then I have a 12 and 11.
So you're an Uber driver.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
I mean, it really is.
But you don't get paid.
That's what we do now as parents. I mean, even that thing that went viral the other day with the Phillies, the Karen.
Oh, yeah.
Grabbing the, like,
yeah.
The dad's going to get the ball. Like, we're not even talking about that. Like,
right.
Foul ball gets hit down the aisle. Years back, are you saying, hey, Dad, go get that for me? No, you're running down there and trying to get it yourself.
Yeah.
Like, why is this kid? Yeah, that's what we do now. We have to, like, you know, and then you have to promote them, too. Everyone's posting stuff about their kids, and it's really kind of sick. But
I mean, how do you navigate the world of three preteens getting everywhere? I mean, you need like 50 helpers, right?
Oh, yeah, it takes a village. That's why you have to have a group. Every team comes with a group text, too. Right? And then there's people in there oversharing. Like, Brooks came make practice tonight. My mother-in-law had a stroke. We're in ICU, bedside, till we see things through. Go Knights. Like, what the hell? How did we get here?
It's like, hope everything's okay.
Yeah. How do you respond?
Yeah.
Yellow thumb.
Do you overshare?
No.
We all don't, we? A little bit?
I mean, a little bit.
He'll do that tonight at Zany's at 7.
Yeah. A lot of those, we're in an app, too. You got the Group Me app, and it's blowing up. You're in the middle of your day, and they're like, oh, Jesse needs a ride. Jesse needs a ride. Like, can someone get a ride both ways? Like, why am I worried about... This kid.
I pull up, I go, and we do a lot of research when a comedian's coming on, and I pull you up, and it's all talking about the discount furniture you talk about in your show. All right? That's popping up on the Google search and everything. How do you know when something hits? Because evidently the discount furniture skit, and it's funny, it hits. How do you know?
It's really just response from the audience, you know? And I have kind of learned... going through this now, being a comic for, you know, a while, is like talking about your personal experiences seems to be what relates the most, you know? So that came out, I got divorced and I didn't have any furniture. Because when you are getting divorced, you're not looking ahead like,
been
hey,
there.
Where am I going to sit? Right. You know? So I scrambled, had to go to Bob's Furniture. Do you guys have that down here, Bob's?
We don't have Bob's, but yeah. We got probably similar to Bob's.
And then I, you know, what is some other stuff I'm talking about recently now, just these kids, like, and everything they know, because there's so much information coming at them, right? And my kids think they're smart now, which is maybe true, but all the things they think they know compared to what they, like, my son's in my face the other day, like, Dad, did you know there's a meteor coming by Earth in 2032? And has a chance to hit our planet. White ball is, are they really? Yeah, did you know you're supposed to put the shower curtain in the bathtub? Because if you don't, it creates a lake on the tile floor. That has a higher chance of wiping us out.
Pat McGann is with us. He'll be at Zany's tonight. You know, observational comedy is the best. I mean, you talk about things that happen in your life, but what is part of your process of taking like those events, putting it into an act that people are going to sit there and laugh at?
You know, it's kind of like journaling a little bit, or yeah. You know, everyone laughs throughout the day, right? But you don't always think like, oh, there's more meat on that, or I could jot that down. So as I've got, I used to sit with a notebook and write things, and now I'm just like, if I say something in conversation or have a thought, I'll try and build it out on stage and, you know, kind of let the audience tell me if there's more there or something that is connecting. You
yeah.
know? So that's like kind of the process, I feel.
Well, one thing Zany's does is a new material Monday where people can go and try stuff out. I mean, is that something that you try and do in Chicago?
I mean, everyone has to do that. I mean, you know, you got to go out on these nights and try new stuff. And those are the most like informative nights. You know, that's really when you're working. It's kind of like, you know, the equivalent of being in the gym, being in the batting cage, hitting balls at the range. When you go to those new material nights and you find out, like, you know, maybe half of my ideas suck. No one is really responding at all. But I got a little laugh at that, and I could probably build on that. You know, so you got to go out and eat it sometimes. That's the process. And it keeps it, you know, keeps it real. You can't, like, once you're good at comedy, you're not, like, automatically good all the time. You're still going to bomb sometimes.
But you killed it at the rhyme in here. I mean, I saw you open for Sebastian. You were fantastic.
Oh, thank you,
usually
man.
Usually it's like, oh God, the opening act, and
man.
But but within like 30 seconds, you had people laughing, and we were like, this guy's good, really good. And that, I mean, that's got to make Sebastian proud. It's got to make you. I mean, it makes everybody in that little group feel good because you're killing it.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you saying that. You know, if I am going to get out in front of a crowd like that, then I kind of have more idea. Like, I'm going to try things or use things that have worked. You know?
Absolutely.
Sebastian, too, has always been encouraging. And, you know, he says it when he's doing interviews and talking about comedy. Like, he wants his opener to kill. He wants to... And that's a lot for a comic to be like that, because some don't.
Right.
You know, they want to book someone that is easier to follow, maybe. And, you know, but I think he sees it as, and even this last tour, he added another comic, Pete Corielli.
We like Pete?
He's a good dude.
All right.
But bigger show. And he wants to present that to his audience. So I've learned that as well, too. Like, I'd like to give other comics opportunities. And it's a competitive deal. Showbiz, in a way, industry is competitive, but it's friendly too. Most comics I've met are very cool, and they're supportive, and they want comedians to do well, and they want the whole thing to grow.
You played, you started comedy, did I read this correct? You were 30 when you roughly get up there. How old are you now?
49.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
but you played Madison Square Garden. I know it was Sebastian's show, but you got to play. Was that a moment like, oh my God, what is happening?
Oh, definitely. You know, you mentioned the Ryman earlier, and I'm into history. I like the history of a lot of the venues. That really strikes me. So to go to a place like the Ryman, to go to MSG, Madison Square Garden, you know, there's so much there, and they really embrace the history, and they're very welcoming, too, to the artists. Like, I got in my dressing room, and they had, like, a gift there, welcome to the garden. And, you know, that rings with other people too when they see, like, oh dude, you're doing the garden, you're going out, you know, people come out and they travel to New York to see the show. So that was those moments, and we got to go back there too. Very special to be able to get to do that. I always related to the Bulls. You know, I grew up with Jordan in that era.
Yeah.
And I would always watch them beat up the Knicks and going into the garden and they would be hyped. You know, when the Bulls were going out there, they would build it up, you know, like, you guys are going to be in New York City next week. So when I would go into those arenas, I was always thinking of it as a sports fan first, and then all the other things that have happened there. And you walk around the concourse of the garden, and they had the whole history documented, all the things that have gone on there.
Who did, as a Bulls fan, who did you just despise?
The Pistons early.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, that was like, when they finally got through that, you know, that was, that's what I loved about that era. Guys weren't changing teams and joining power teams and, like, you know, creating their own path to get a ring. You had to, like, go through the fire. So the Pistons rivalry early was huge. Then the Knicks became a big deal. You know, they were kind of competitive with them. And, you know, later on, the Pacers. I mean, everybody in the East you kind of hated, you know?
Yeah,
the,
right.
The West wasn't really much of a threat. Although the Houston Rockets were very – and they never faced each other in the playoffs.
I know, because Jordan took the 2 years off and then came back in 96 and won three more. But it's what Chase and I talk about all the time. We didn't grow up here. I did with professional sports. The Titans didn't come until 98, the Predators. But you had that in your backyard. That must have been a hell of a time to grow up in Chicago.
Oh, it really was. I mean, that was, you know, if you look back for me, it was like when I first was aware of sports, it was like 82, 83. The White Sox were really good. Then they had the Cubs had a decent 84, and then the 85 Bears. So when you think about, like, Michael Jordan and the 85 Bears and all that, like, it would seem like a pretty cool place to be growing up. You know, we had some really great, you know, every town you put up, like, the Mount Rushmore.
Oh, yeah.
And I think, like, maybe most of that Mount Rushmore in Chicago were players that I got to see play growing up.
Beautiful.
I think, like most kids in the 90s, I love the Bulls. I love Jordan, Pippen. And so I was telling you, my friend lives in Chicago now and works at the Score. And so I went up to see him, and I was, you know, late 30s, first time getting to see a Bulls game live.
Yeah.
And I was so excited, even though they were terrible, just because they still do the entrance and play Sirius.
Oh, yeah,
and like,
right.
And now, you know, like, and I was just like, this is so cool.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan played here. And then last year, we got to fly up with the Predators when they played the Blackhawks, and we're downstairs and walked by the Bulls locker room.
Oh, that's very cool.
And stuff at United Center. So, I mean, I certainly get that because, you know, they were awesome then. So,
yeah, and
really
it's
cool.
It's changed a lot in my lifetime, just the stadiums. And now the Bears might be leaving Soldier Field. They're going to build something out in the suburbs, which is kind of feels a little weird.
Come on, Pat. You're popular now. You can stop this.
Yeah, I wish right? I could. That seems like a done deal now.
The Cubs will never leave Wrigley.
No, they won't.
The White Sox are looking. The Bears are looking. Like, you know, the UC will need something at some point.
And the Chicago Stadium was an unbelievable place.
Yeah.
That had so much history, and that was an electric atmosphere. And now the United Center is cool, right? And it's right across the street from where the old stadium was. I like that part of it. Stay in Chicago. Stay there, close.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's funny to think about all the things that have changed since those the early days, you know?
Yeah. We're told we can keep you as long as we can.
Yes.
That's what I'm told.
Yeah.
So we're gonna
told
go,
you that.
So.
He made that up.
Yeah. So can you hang out for a little bit?
Yeah, of course.
Okay,
Pat McGann is with us. He will be at Zany's tonight. You can get tickets at patmcgannscomedy.com or zanies.com. We'll have more with him. Coming up next, Chase and Big Joe, live from the Omni, 102.5 The Game.
Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Thursday. We're live at Bar Lines at the Omni Nashville Hotel. Our guest, Pat McGann, is with us. He's going to be at Zany's tonight. We're you know, usually we're very friendly. The Blackhawks and the Preds haven't had the rivalry in a few years, so I think we're cool right now.
Yeah, I mean, that was pretty hot.
We're waiting on you. Though. We're waiting on you guys to get good again, and the Preds kind of have some work to do as well. So,
well, the Predators had the last laugh, right?
Yeah,
I mean, it was the Blackhawks were good for a while, very good for a while, and then the Predators kind of overtook them, and now they're both kind of in a rebuilding or finding each other phase.
Yeah,
so it's friendly.
It is friendly for now.
We're not a threat. You guys, no threat, right?
We're good.
Is it Cubs or Sox for you?
White Sox, yeah.
White Sox,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Attaboy. Thank you for that, Pat.
I'm a real Chicagoan.
Yeah, I have learned now that, you know, going to Chicago a lot in the last few years, everybody's told me you'd be a Sox fan. Like, if you lived here, you'd be a – I mean, the Cubs are cool. It's Wrigley's cool, whatever. But they're all like, you'd be a Sox fan.
Why is that?
Because more
purist,
yeah, and like the Cubs are the trendy pick, I guess, because they're the lovable losers and all those things.
I mean, if you move there and you're a team is going to grab you, the Cubs are going to grab you with their atmosphere, the party, the location of the stadium, the vibe. The White Sox are like, there's some grit to being a White Sox fan.
See, I love Sox Park. Like, yeah. I like going there.
Yeah, I like it too. You know, it took a while for me to get it. I loved the old park, you know, and that was all I knew. So it was like kind of strange when they tore that down. You know, it was the oldest park at the time. It was the oldest stadium, ton of history there. And they didn't really get it right when they first opened that stadium. They have since really changed it. They tore the whole top 20 rows off of it and like made it more intimate.
Yeah.
But yeah, they have, you know, I really carry the flag for the White Sox. I think they're a real cool organization for all the things that they've contributed. You know, putting names on the jerseys, fireworks, having walk-up music. I think they started that. You know, they had Nancy Faust with the organ, the Nana, Hey, Hey, Goodbye. The other thing they started really leaning into was Turn Back the Clock. They used to do Turn Back Clock, the retro uniforms. Now, retro uniforms are every other day, you know? And they were really kind of on the forefront of that. And we have the Pope.
You have the Pope. That's right. You
know? If that's not a sign the world is coming to an end, the Pope is a Chicago White Sox fan. Like, how does that compute?
So he knows misery.
He knows attendance issues. I think that's why they brought him on board.
Were you a White Sox fan when they wore those the jerseys with the knickers or whatever
like
they
the
had?
Shorts? Yes. Yeah. I mean, I was. That was like 77. I was born in 76, so that was like right. I mean, I wasn't really a Sox fan yet, but that Bill Veeck era. Someone should do a movie on Bill Veeck.
Oh yeah, he was the original like P.T. Barnum for baseball, right?
Yeah. I mean, most of the things I just mentioned that, you know, the White Sox started. He started.
Yeah.
You know, and he's actually credited with planting the ivy at Wrigley Field, too. He was an intern there. He owned the Cleveland organization. He brought in Eddie Goodell.
Yeah.
Remember all these things that this guy did? They should make a movie about him. He had an ashtray in his leg. He had a prosthetic leg, and he had an ashtray in his leg.
I mean, think about that today. If an owner brings up, and I'm going to say it, a midget to bat as a joke, they'd be ostracized.
No kidding.
That was celebrated.
Right. And I always say to my dad, because my dad would tell me that story, like, you always make baseball seem so hard, like, back in the day. Like, why didn't someone throw it in that guy's ear? They didn't just drill Eddie Goodell?
Yes, right? Get it done with that. You love Chicago. Have you played the United Center?
I have, yes, with Sebastian.
That had to be something.
It was a lot of fun, you know. Again, going back to just the sports history of the venue and just being in that space. And, you know, for me, I do a good amount of stuff in Chicago, and I have a little bit of a following there, and just everyone coming out just to see that show, very cool. But the Chicago Theater, I think, is more.
Oh yeah.
You know, those theaters, that size of a theater is the ultimate for me for comedy, you know, because it's still pure in a sense. You're not blowing out, you know, it's still kind of computes. Like, hey, I was seeing a stage live performer on this stage, and those are the ones I really love to do.
Who makes you laugh?
Oh, man, that's a good question. Who makes me laugh? My girlfriend here. She's very funny. I laugh with Kim a lot. I have a lot of comics that I admire, you know. I mean, I do enjoy watching Sebastian. His performing skills just blow me away, and I feel like I've learned a lot just from watching him. But growing up, man, I loved Eddie Murphy. I loved watching Saturday Night Live at that time. David Letterman was the guy that I really was like, man, this dude is just funny. Mm-hmm. Funny in conversation. Funny with the bits, the sketches. And he has some history doing stand-up, too. Nowadays, I mean, you guys have Nate here. He's hilarious. Very funny dude. And then, you know, you ever hear Kathleen Madigan? You ever see Kathleen
Madigan?
She
lives here?
She lives in Nashville. Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
I'm a big fan of Kathleen Madigan. Very funny. So many good comics. Who do you like?
I think you're funny. I mean, I'm telling you, you killed it the rhyming that night. I mean, it was great. I love Sebastian. He is he's us. I mean, his skits on basketball and, you know, what happens when somebody knocks on your door today, how do you react? I mean, things. I mean, that's just stuff like Chase and I were talking about. Those are everyday conversations that we have.
Right.
And that guys like you and Sebastian and Nate really bring that to forefront. It takes a lot to make me laugh. I mean,
it does. I've been trying for 14 years.
Are you sometimes enjoying it internally and you're not laughing out loud?
I am, but I'm also, I love to write, but I'm also thinking, all right, where, how did you come up with this? Then you got to deliver it perfectly. When did you write it? What spurred you to write it?
Yeah.
And then did it work immediately? But you knew it worked, but it's not working on the stage and you kept with it. Like, I know this will work. And I remember Jeff Foxworthy had the same thing. Like, I know something's working. I know it. But nobody's laughing. And he says, I'm going to go till I find somebody to laugh that. And he found that and it takes off. So I'm always in your head.
Yeah.
Maybe that's my problem, that I'm in Pat McGann's head.
I can relate to that, though. Like, I'll be enjoying something and maybe not laughing out loud. Maybe not, like, rolling in the aisles. Like, and I have experienced that too. Like at a show, I'll see somebody staring at me and like, what's up, man? Like, are you here? Like, you know, and like, no, I'm having fun. This is great. Like, tell your face. Yeah. Right. Like you, sometimes you just don't show it.
Do you like crowd work?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Jimmy Carr is very funny.
Very.
We cannot repeat Jimmy Carr on this radio station because we lose our job, but that's genius level. I think you guys are genius level to be able to do that immediately.
He's brilliant. Yeah, very quick. I do like doing crowd work, and I kind of didn't at first. It was very uncomfortable for me to get used to talking to the audience. But when I was hosting at Zany's in Chicago, they encouraged you to welcome everyone, find out where people are from, if they're celebrating something, they're there for something special, you know. And then I would just start to ask questions. And that's really what you have to do. You have to stay, like, in the pocket. Ask a question. If it's not funny right there, like, there might be something else. And
sure.
Just to continue. And you got to listen, you know. So it's definitely something I enjoy. It makes every show different for me. It keeps everything a little bit fresh. But I also enjoy doing the material, too.
What do you tell guys, like, I know Chase wants to do it. There's people out there like, I want to go to open mic night, but I'm not sure. What would you tell them, Pat?
I would say, chill out, man. You got a radio show. I'm not coming on here. Like, I'm going to do radio. I'm going to start my own show. No, I would say just talk about, you know, stuff you got going on.
Yeah.
Your own life, your own personal stuff. You know what? I always tell people, go to a couple open mics. That'll build your confidence. Because some of the open mics are brutal.
Right.
You know? Yes. And I say that, like, being part of it sometimes. I can go up and be brutal and, you know, not have great stuff. But when you see other people have to go through that, maybe it gives you a little bit more comfort being like, well, I can at least do that, or I could be prepared. Some people go to these things, they're not even prepared. They don't have, so if you have like a, you know, a couple ideas and an outline of what you want to do, and then I always tell people too, you got to like record your set, listen to it afterwards too, and then you can kind of start building something. Do you guys do that? Do you watch your shows? Do you watch yours?
Never.
Never?
I do.
He does. I spent 20 years in TV, Pat, as a sports anchor, roughly. I've never, maybe five times, watched myself. I'm like, who hired that guy?
I can tell.
No, I do. And I didn't for a while, but because I was kind of the same way. But, you know, people kept telling me, like, no, it's like an athlete watching tape. Like, right. you need to do it.
It is so tough to do, though. I hear both sides here, and I am like, you know, I say you should do that, and then I don't necessarily always do it. Like, if I record five shows, I might be able to watch one or two of them, and then you kind of slowly go back and look at them. But it is tough to watch yourself.
I feel like comedy is, like you're saying, of, you know, as you're getting into it and practicing and all that, is a job where, you know, the first few times you're probably not going to be good, but you're going to keep getting the opportunity because that's the only way you're going to get better. Is that a fair assessment?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I mean, it's just really like anything else, the continual grind, and, you know, it doesn't come out as gold. You have to refine it. You have to change it, and you have to add to it, subtract from it. It's always like you say, like you like to write. Well, good writing is good editing, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
You really have to. There's oftentimes a lot of fat on what you're trying to say.
I tell people 98% of what I write is embarrassing bad.
Oh, yeah.
But the 2%, gold.
Right? Exactly.
Go. So you write, what is it? You write from your heart and you edit with your brain. I think that's what, that's what Hemingway famously said. And so I'm not Hemingway yet, but I think that's a good way to put it. But you just keep trying and trying and trying. And I tell people all the time, Pat, you know, there's open mics here where four people show up. And I have a friend of mine said, well, I'm not going to go. Four people show up. I said, if you don't go, you'll never go. Right. Whether it's four people, eight people, 15,000 people, don't quit. Yeah. Just don't quit doing that. Because if you quit, you're done.
Right. Yeah, you have to keep. You have to stay at it. Keep going.
And you get to hear all this tonight as Pat McCann opens for Chase tonight, Zany's tonight, starting at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, something like that. I have to ask you, you mentioned Letterman earlier. We love David Letterman on this show. I grew up watching The Late Show. He's one of my favorites. You did The Late Show, right?
I did, yeah.
What was that experience like?
It was incredible. I mean, that was if I ever had a goal in doing this, it was probably that. Like, I wanted to be on Letterman.
That's so cool.
And it was the only show I really pursued. And it was an out-of-body experience. One cool thing was Kevin Bacon was on the episode, the show I did. So I always like it, you know, that whatever, 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Holy cow.
Yeah, I crossed paths with him. And then I got to do it a second time. And the second time I did it was, in a way, more enjoyable because I was more present and more able to. I didn't have as many questions about what it was going to be like, you know, because that first time you don't know what, you know, you don't know where your dressing room is. You don't know, like, when they're going to bring you down, and you don't know, like, the whole. And you talk about history. I was mentioning the history of these venues, the Ed Sullivan Theater, you know. Right before I went out there, I think the guy was, I don't know if he was trying to relax me, but he's like, hey, this is where the Beatles made their debut. Elvis, you know, have a good time. Like, oh, that helps. When you come out there and you see, I still remember, like, you know, Paul Schaefer there, the band, and then, like, David Letterman's right there. Like,
yeah.
It looks like you're further away on TV. He's pretty much right there. You could hear him reacting to some of the bits, and that is distracting in a way.
Yeah.
Right? Oh.
Who was the guest the second time?
Bill Hader.
Okay.
Was a guest that night, and oh man, a guy from, I forget his name, but he was in the zombie show that was on A&E. I never really watched it.
Walking Dead?
Yes. Yeah, he was in Walking Dead. Yeah. Forget the guy's name.
It doesn't matter, but Pat McGann.
I'm sure he doesn't remember my name.
But we do. We know who you are, Pat.
Yes, we do. Pat McGann, you'll be at Zany's tonight. Hey, thanks for doing this, man. This has been a lot of fun.
Thank you, guys. This has been a blast. Appreciate that. And to be live and out here with people in Nashville is beautiful.
Yes. Enjoy our fair city, and good luck tonight.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you both.
Pat McGann joining us here on the program. We'll have more coming up next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Thursday. We're live at Bar Lines at the Omni Nashville Hotel. 102.5 The Game is teamed up with Pella Windows and Doors and the Nashville Humane Association for a puppy pet adoption this Saturday at Pella, 256 East Main Street in Hendersonville from 10 to noon. For more, just visit thegamenashville.com/events. Appreciate Pat McGann for joining us here on the program. And, Joe, that was good stuff. That was very funny.
Well, I think he's like us. He's just a regular dude who gets comedy and makes people laugh, and observational comedy and funny. And we both love comedians because it's not easy, right? I mean, it's just, you don't get your degree in college and immediately you're a famous comedian. I mean, you've got to grind for years. So it's always fun to talk to them.
Yeah, and look, you know, we've obviously switched time slots recently. And now at noon to 3, but, you know, for those of you that have been with us, you know what we're about, that yes, we're a sports show, but we're going to talk about life and pop culture and kind of observational things. We're going to talk, you know, to comedians and not be as serious, straight sports talk as other shows that you might get. But look, you know, DVD, that's what they're going to give you and do a great job of it. And so that's what we try to do. And so we hope it's entertaining. We feel like it is. And having somebody like Pat on, that was really cool.
Amen. Also, go to Zany's. Never been to Zany's?
Yes.
Go to Zany's.
Absolutely. Coming up next, we'll tell you what day it is and celebrity birthdays, plus the mashup, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Thursday, wrapping things up here at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Bar Lines. And it's been a great show. Jeff Fisher, Mike Griffith. We had our high school coaches on, and then Pat McGann.
Yeah.
Awesome time here at the Omni today. But with that, it is time, everybody loves it, to do what we must, and that is celebrity birthdays, and what day is it? It's brought to you by Jarrett Companies, Inc., the backbone of Middle Tennessee's construction scene since 1997. JarrettCompaniesInc.com, above and beyond industry standards.
All right, first and last, we have I Want to Start My Own Business Day. Shout out to those business goers. Oh, libraries, okay. Libraries Remember Day. All right, multiple libraries. There we go. Let's see.
Okay.
That's a lot of them. All right, make your bed days today. I feel like everybody should do that every day.
I have been doing a better job of that lately.
I mean, that's rule number one. And then you go brush your teeth.
I was never good at that, and I have made it a point.
All righty. National Day of Service and Remembrance. Obviously, today's 9/11. Yep. Remember those that have lost. National Emergency Responders Day. Celebrating those. National Hot Cross Buns Day.
Oh, yeah. So, I learned that on the xylophone.
Yep. National No News is Good News Day. Patriot Day, obviously, is today. Remembering Freedom Day is today. Are You Okay Day is today. That's celebrated in Australia. So, and then last but not least, Women's Baseball Day.
No crying in baseball, nice. Dr. Crane.
I thought
no.
Hot Cross Buns was your Pilates class you went to.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Thank you, Dr. Crane. Time for celebrity birthdays. Got to get these within two. Before we start, did you know that Tom Landry and Bear Bryant were both born on this day?
I did not know
to
that.
To the iconic cool. football coaches. All right. Our first birthday is, oh, she's beautiful. Actress Virginia Madsen. How old is Virginia Madsen?
What was she in?
She was in a movie, I forgot the name of it, but there's a scene that we all remember.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. Was it Two Moon Junction? Was that the movie? I think it is. Yes.
64.
64,
exactly. Good wow. job, Chaser.
I had no idea.
Out of the gate. Hey, man, no apologies on this show for knowing the answers. All right, big time. All right, our next birthday is... Harry Connick Jr.
61.
57.
58. What wow. TV show was he the boyfriend? It wasn't Friends. He was the boyfriend of Will and Grace.
Oh, yeah,
that's
yeah.
That's
yeah.
right.
That's right.
He is so talented, too, man. All right, so going down. Ludacris. How old's Ludacris?
Atlanta's own. 48.
50.
48, exactly. Chaser's on a roll, 4-0. Actress Elizabeth Henstridge. She was in that movie with Johnny Depp where she came back from space, and I think that's right, according to this. Elizabeth Henstridge. She's also in Marvel and y'all's little nerd DC comic movies.
Yeah, I think I know who you're talking about. 47.
50.
38. All right, movie director Brian De Palma.
61.
65.
85. Actress Amy Madigan, who's married to Ed Harris and was Kevin Costner's wife in Field of Dreams.
Yep. 63.
60.
75.
Jeez.
Guitar player Tommy Shaw of Styx.
73.
70.
72. Chaser's up 5-1.
Lives here, I believe.
He does. Let's see. Where did she go? Sports reporter Leslie Visser.
AB, we appreciate you listening, by the way. Leslie Visser. 68.
57.
72. On the actress Christy McNichol.
58 60 63.
Lead singer of Lady A, Charles Kelly. Well, he's a female with him, but he's the other guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. 46.
53.
44. Chase up 6-1. Paul Heyman,
wrestling Paul?
Manager.
Oh
yeah.
Paul E. He is
61.
60. It's 6-2. Oh,
nice.
Ellis Burks, former Boston Red Sox outfielder.
73.
67.
61. Shelton Quarles, Tampa Bay linebacker. He's with the Bucs, and he went to White's Creek High School, played at Vanderbilt. Hell of a player.
He's still playing?
He is not.
Oh.
Uh-oh. With Austin Peay as well. No. Vanderbilt or Austin Peay, one of the
58.
Two.
55.
54. Now 6-3. Kentucky basketball coach Mark Pope.
44.
Hopefully I get this right, Connor. I'm going to go 52.
53. It's now 6-4. Former Red Sox player Jacob Ellsbury.
Jacoby Ellsbury.
Jacoby?
Yeah.
If I would write that down correctly.
Jacoby Ellsbury is 47.
45.
42. Our last birthday. Dr. Crane, is Derek Mason in the studio?
He is not.
All right. Well, I would allow you some help on this. All right, Chase, how old is Ed Reed?
55.
All right, it's 53. 6-4. How old?
53.
Oh, at the buzzer, you lose. He's 47. Chase wins 6-4. Good job, everybody.
Great job.
Do we have the mashup?
Indeed.
I don't know if we can hear it, but go ahead and play it.
And a happy Thursday, everybody. Welcome in, Chase and Big Joe. 102.5 The Game, live at Bar Lines at the Omni Nashville Hotel. Hope you're having a great start to your day.
50 helpers, right?
Oh, yeah. It takes a village. That's why you have to have a group. Every team comes with a group text, too. And then there's people in there oversharing. Like, Brooks came, made practice tonight. My mother-in-law had a stroke. We're in ICU, bedside, until we see things through. Go Knights. Like, what the hell? How did we get here?
It's like, okay, so you don't know anything.
I know Cosmo Kramer.
Yeah.
He's a pretty good guy.
You know, and he had a tryout. He's like 10 years old. Had a tryout. You know what the tryout was? Can you come up with $2,500?
I believe it.
Yeah, he came home. He said, Dad, I made the team. He's like, I know. I got the fraud alert from Chase. Has a chance to hit our planet. White ball is, are they really? Yeah, did you know you're supposed to put the shower curtain in the bathtub? Because if you don't, it creates a lake on the tile floor. That has a higher chance of wiping us out.
There you go. That's our mashup for today. And great job, Dr. Crane. That is going to do it for us here at the Omni.
Yeah, as we lead the show every day, look, we really want to thank you all. Our question of the day was, what's good in this world? What are you grateful for? We got so many responses. Sorry we couldn't get to all of them, but thank you. And I say every day there's a lot of good and a lot of grateful things in this world. And if you are struggling with something, please reach out. Talk to somebody. Always quick on your cell phone. You can dial 988-star-988, talk to somebody, or text, or you can... We got help for you on our website, thegamenashville.com. Click on the Chase and Big Joe Show. There's a link to Unity Psychiatric Care. We tell you all the time to talk to somebody. Whatever you're going through, please talk to somebody. Know that this world is a great place because you are here. Please know that and believe that. Know that we love you. And more than anything else in this world, God loves you.
Amen to that. Peace, love, rock and roll. DVD coming up next here on 102.5 The Game.